The story of Jonah is perhaps one of the most well-known stories in the whole of the Bible. The events of Jonah's life have been preached upon by gospel preachers for centuries, and no doubt will be continued to be preached upon until time is no more. Indeed, this story of Jonah running away from God, being swallowed by a great fish, and then eventually obeying the command of God and preaching in the city of Nineveh is so well known that even the smallest children in the Sunday school are familiar with it. But if I was to say to you this evening, what do you know about the king of Nineveh? I wonder what your response would be. I've never heard a sermon preached upon the king of Nineveh. Now, that's not to say that there never has been a sermon preached upon the king of Nineveh, and maybe there's someone here tonight, and you have heard many sermons preached upon the king of Nineveh. But I think that you will agree with me that of all the characters in the Old Testament, the king of Nineveh is one of the lesser known characters in the Bible. And certainly when it comes to this story of Jonah, the king of Nineveh is barely mentioned by preachers today, if at all. At the end of our service tonight, very simply, I want to draw your attention to the king of Nineveh. This king that we are told of, who lived in the days of Jonah the prophet. And I want to draw your attention to this portion of scripture which we have read. And I pray that as we look at this character tonight, that the Lord will write this message upon your heart. If you're found here in this service and you're not a Christian. Now, today we have been emphasizing the message of the gospel. Today we have been emphasizing the need for men and women to make their peace with God and to be saved by the grace of God. And the reason for that is because if you're here tonight and you're not saved, your greatest need is to be born again of the Spirit of God. You need to be saved. You need to come to that knowledge of sins forgiven. And my prayer tonight is that if you're found here without Christ, that the Lord will take this message and speak to your heart. Now, what do we learn here in Jonah chapter 3 about the king of Nineveh? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that he was an ungodly king under the judgment of God. That's the first thing that we learn here about this king. Now, of course, not only was the king of Nineveh ungodly and under the judgment of God, but the people of Nineveh were ungodly and under the judgment of God. If you take a look at chapter 1 and verse 1, you'll read these words. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." And then if you take a look at chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So not only was the king ungodly, not only was the king unrighteous, not only was the king a sinner of the deepest dye, but the whole city were ungodly. In fact, there was not one righteous person who lived in the city of Nineveh in the days of Jonah. Did you ever notice that? You remember that before God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord promised Abraham that if he found 10 righteous in the cities, that he would spare the cities of the plain. Now we all know what happened to the cities of the plain. God destroyed them because he could not find 10 righteous people within those cities. But there was one righteous man who lived in Sodom. And that, of course, was Lot. And God, of course, took Lot out of the city before he destroyed it. But in the city of Nineveh, there was not one righteous person in that city. There was not one godly man. Everyone in the city, because of their sin, were under the judgment and condemnation of God, even the king of Nineveh. And that truth, that simple truth, is brought out here very clearly for us all to see. His sins and his ungodliness were as guilty as the poor man on the street. You see, God made no exception for the king. And the truth is that class, earthly position and life does not make anyone any different in the eyes of God. Because, of course, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that means that, indeed, we are all under the judgment and condemnation of Almighty God. And that's the truth that is brought out here in this portion of Scripture. Because when we consider the ungodliness of the king of Nineveh and the ungodliness of the people of Nineveh, when we consider this fact that they were all under the judgment and condemnation of God, because remember that Jonah went with the message of judgment, that reminds us that we are all born under the condemnation and judgment of Almighty God. Indeed, we read over there in Romans chapter 5 and verse 18, the first part of it, it says, "Wherefore as by the offense of one," that's speaking of Adam, "judgment came upon all men to condemnation." And over there in John chapter 3 and verse 18, we read these words, again familiar, I'm sure, to most of us. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." My friend, if you're in this meeting tonight, let me say this very lovingly and very tenderly, but let me say it very faithfully, that if you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved, you're not born again of the Spirit of God, you're without Christ, that means that you're under the judgment and condemnation of God. You see, the sinner without Christ does not have to wait to the judgment day to find out his fate, or to find out his destiny, or to find out the sentence that will befall his soul. Because the Word of God clearly teaches, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And as you sit in this gospel meeting tonight, on the authority of the Bible, let me say this, you're under the judgment and the condemnation of God because of the nature that you have been born with. Now, notice, and it's very important that you notice this, God was the one who passed judgment upon the king of Nineveh and his city. It was not Jonah. Now, Jonah brought the message. Jonah was the preacher. He was the messenger. But it was God who had pronounced the judgment upon the king of Nineveh and the city of Nineveh. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city," listen to it, "and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And that's the part of the text that you need to underline in your Bible and highlight it. Here Jonah was going with the message of God. My friend, the message is still the same. Because men are born in sin, because men are born with a sinful nature, they're born under the judgment and the condemnation of God. You see, it is not the preacher, it is not the church that passes judgment or sentences the sinner. Rather, it is the God of heaven. It is the Word of God that condemns the sinner. It is the Word of God that declares the fate of the sinner without Christ. And that's why we have gospel meetings, and that's why we endeavor to bring men and women in under the sound of the Word of God in order to express to them the truth of the gospel and to declare unto them the serious situation of dying in your sin and going out to meet God unprepared. The king of Nineveh was an ungodly man, but he was under the judgment and condemnation of the Lord, because Jonah said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days. There's the message. And Nineveh shall be overthrown. And my friend, if you die in your sin tonight without Jesus Christ as your Savior, then it is a message of judgment for you. And you'll be lost forever and forever and forever and forever. But I want you to notice something else here about the king of Nineveh. And I'm sure that if you've read this portion of Scripture before, and maybe you've even noticed it tonight as we read down the passage, I want you to notice, secondly, that he was an ungodly man who desired the mercy of God. Did you notice that? The king of Nineveh, although a sinner and under the judgment and condemnation of God, desired that God would be merciful to him. The king wanted the mercy of God. And not only did he desire mercy for himself, as you read down Jonah chapter 3, but he desired mercy for his city and for the people who lived in Nineveh. Now, how did the king express this desire for mercy? Well, take a look with me, first of all, at verse 6, and you will see that he humbled himself before God. It says there, and he, that's the king, he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. In other words, he took the sinner's place. He took the sinner's place. He is acknowledging here that he is a sinner. He's humbling himself before God. You know, God will not show mercy to anyone until they first humble themselves and acknowledge that they are sinners in His sight. Notice, if you take a look there with me at verse 8, or verse 8, the first part of it, you will see that he cried unto the Lord. So not only did he humble himself, but he cried unto the Lord. Because the first part of verse 8 says, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Here we have the king of Nineveh, and not only is he willing to cry unto God for mercy himself, but he's exhorting the people of Nineveh also to cry unto God for mercy. In other words, he recognized that if he and his city were going to be spared, then only the Lord could save them. So he's humbling himself, and he's crying unto the Lord for mercy. And then notice what else he does. If you take a look at the latter part of verse 8, you will see that he repented. He repented. Because it says here, yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. So not only is he repenting himself, but he's exhorting those in the city to repent and turn away from their sins. And of course, that's what repentance means. Repentance means doing an about turn. It means turning away from your sin. And then if you look at verse 9, you'll see that not only did he humble himself, not only did he cry unto the Lord for mercy, not only did he repent of his sin, but if you look at verse 9, you will see that he cast himself on the grace of God. Because verse 9 says, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? The king acknowledged that the only thing that could save him and his city was the grace of God. He knew and recognized that he did not deserve the grace of God or the mercy of God. So he cast himself on the grace of God. Therefore, here we have a heathen king, an ungodly king, a king who up until this time wanted nothing to do with God or holiness or righteousness, a king who had lived his life in sin and ungodliness, a king who was just about to receive the judgment of God, who was under the condemnation of God. Then he hears the word of God, and although it's a word of judgment, he pleads for the mercy of God and desires that the God of heaven would show him grace and spare him and his city. You know, sinner, that's what you need to do tonight. You're found in this meeting. Every person that's saved in this meeting tonight has already done this. They have already been here. And if I can just for a moment look back to the day when I was saved, I had to recognize that I was a sinner. I had to humble myself before God. I had to cry unto the God of heaven for mercy. I had to pray that the Lord would save me and redeem me. And I had to repent of my sin. And that's what you need to do tonight if you're found in this meeting and you're not saved. You need to plead for the mercy of God upon your soul. You need to humble yourself before God. And you need to repent of your sin and cast yourself upon the grace of God. If God is ever going to save you, if you're ever going to be delivered from hell, if you're ever going to get into heaven, if your sins are ever going to be forgiven, then you must desire the mercy of God. And you must turn to the Lord. And turn from your sin and seek Him. The problem today in this 21st century is that man does not feel his need of God's mercy. Man does not see himself as the sinner. Therefore, man does not see himself as one who needs to repent and humble himself before God. Indeed, the opposite is the case. Man today feels that God owes him something. Man today, because of his good works, feels that he has no need to repent. Because as far as man is concerned, he is not a sinner. Therefore, he does not need to take the humble place before God. And that's your position up until this night if you're found here and you're not saved. Oh, my friend, I pray this evening as you listen to this simple message, as the Word of God goes forth, that the Holy Ghost will take the Word of God and write it upon your soul and write it upon your heart. Listen, like the king of Nineveh, you're under the judgment and condemnation of God. That's your spiritual state tonight. That's your standing. That's where you are, spiritually. And if you were to die right now, you'd be lost in hell forever. And you need the mercy of God. If you're ever going to be saved from hell, if you're ever going to be delivered from judgment to come, if you're ever going to get into heaven, then you need the mercy of God. It's only the mercy of God that can save you. It's only the grace of God that can save you. That's what the Bible says. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But notice something else about the king of Nineveh. Look again with me at Jonah chapter 3. And you will notice here that he was an ungodly king who received the forgiveness of God. This is a tremendous story here of God's mercy towards an ungodly individual. Take a look what it says in verse 10. And verse 10, you ought to underline it in your Bible because this is what it says. And God saw their works, that they had turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. God was merciful to the king of Nineveh. God spared his life. God saved his soul. God forgave him for his sin. God spared his city. And God saved his people. Why? Well, the answer is simple. Because God is a merciful God. And he will forgive and have mercy upon all those who repent and turn from their sin unto him. Verse 10 says, look at it carefully, and God saw their works. In other words, God saw their repentance. That's what it literally means. And then it goes on to say that God repented of the evil. In other words, God turned from his judgment. Sinner, because of sin, you're under the judgment of God. But if you repent and turn from your sin and cry unto God for mercy, the Lord will have mercy upon you. He will forgive you and he will save you. Here we have a tremendous portion of Scripture. Jonah went forth with the message of judgment. Jonah went forth preaching that in 40 days Nineveh would be destroyed. And then all of a sudden, God begins to work in the lives of the people, and he begins to work in the life of this king of Nineveh. And there's a turnaround. The people turn from their sin. The king of Nineveh declares a decree. He turns from his sin. He humbles himself. He cries for mercy, recognizing that only the grace of God can save him and his people. And all of a sudden, God changes his mind. And instead of destroying the city, he saves the city. Instead of the judgment of God falling upon the city and upon the king, God poured out his grace and his mercy, and he delivers them. My friend, you know what that teaches me? That teaches me that God is a merciful God. There's a wonderful text of Scripture over in Psalm 86 in verse 5. Listen to these words. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy. Listen to it. Unto all them that call upon thee. Unto all them that call upon thee. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you're not saved. And you've sat under the sound of the gospel for many years. And maybe you think you're not able to get saved anymore. Maybe you think your day of grace has ended. Oh, listen, friend. Here we have a text of Scripture. And the Bible tells me that if you call upon the Lord for mercy, just like the king of Nineveh, if you humble yourself before God, just like the king of Nineveh, if you repent of your sin, just like the king of Nineveh, what does it say? It says that the Lord will forgive, that he will show mercy towards you, and thank God he will save you. Indeed, there's a tremendous text that emphasizes this again over in the book of Joel, chapter 2, and it's verse 12 and 13. Just listen to these words. It says, therefore, also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. In other words, he will turn away from the judgment. He will turn away his judgment from you. And instead of you receiving that judgment, he will forgive you and he will save you and he will cleanse you and he will make you fit for heaven. What a turnabout took place here in the city of Nineveh. My friend, that turnabout can take place in your life tonight. You may have come into this meeting in your sins under the condemnation of God. But thank God you can leave this meeting tonight with your sins forgiven on your way to heaven. You can leave this meeting tonight having received the mercy of God. Having received the forgiveness of God. Because here we have this wicked king and he received God's forgiveness. You know, that's the greatest blessing that any man or woman can have in this world. The greatest possession that anyone can possess is God's wonderful salvation. I wonder, my friend, this evening, do you possess God's wonderful salvation? Are you forgiven? The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far will he remove our transgressions from us. Thank God. The Lord will have mercy upon all those that call upon him. There's a wonderful parable in the Bible, and I'm sure that it's familiar to to most of you, if not all of you, the parable of the publican and the Pharisee. And we read about that parable in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Let me just read you some of the verses to remind you of what happened. Luke 18, verse 10, it says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Here's a Pharisee. He's certainly not humbling himself before God. He's not repenting of his sin. He's not casting himself upon the grace of God. And he's certainly not desiring the mercy of God, because he doesn't believe he needs it. I fast, verse 12, twice in the week I give tithes of all that I possess. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up as much as his eyes to heaven. He's humbling himself, the old publican, and he's repenting. He's acknowledging his sin, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. There we have a man just like the king of Nineveh. And my friend, if you're ever going to be saved, let me say this very lovingly, but let me say it very dogmatically, if you're ever going to be saved, you must take the place of the sinner, and you must take the place of the ungodly man and recognize your spiritual standing before God. Verse 14 says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, speaking about the publican. And when it speaks about being justified there, it means having your sins forgiven. Therefore, the publican who cried unto God for mercy and turned away from his sin and acknowledged that he was the sinner, he went up from the house of God saved and redeemed and forgiven, rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now God has brought you into his house tonight, and he has brought you in to hear the word of God, and he has brought you in to hear this message. Oh my friend, I wonder, what are you going to do tonight with the message of the gospel? You know, God will show mercy to you this evening through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus died upon the cross. He shed his precious blood there upon Calvary's middle tree. He laid down his life a ransom for the many. And thank God, because of what Christ has done upon the cross, there is forgiveness and cleansing for you. But you have got to recognize that Christ died for you upon the cross. You've got to see your sin being nailed upon him, laid upon him. And in order to do that, you've got to acknowledge that you are the sinner. See, that was the turning point here. As far as the king of Nineveh was concerned, he realized that he needed the mercy of God, and he recognized that he needed the grace of God. Do you recognize that great fact this evening? How long has the devil been blinding your mind to the truth of your need of Christ? How long has Satan been deceiving you into thinking that you can get to heaven by your own good works? You can't, of course, as we were finding out this morning. Because the Bible tells us, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Listen, the king of Nineveh was an ungodly king who was under the condemnation and judgment of God. And so are you. The king of Nineveh desired the mercy of God. I pray tonight that you will desire it. You certainly need the mercy of God, because without the mercy of God, you cannot be forgiven and you cannot find salvation. But the king of Nineveh, thank God, he received the forgiveness of God. And God, instead of pouring out his judgment upon him, showed mercy towards him and forgave him and saved him and cleansed him. And thank God, the Lord will do that for you tonight if you were to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the hymn writer penned it well when he wrote those words. Only trust him, only trust him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. And you know, friend, He will save you now. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Why put off to tomorrow what you need to do today? Don't put off to tomorrow what you need to do today. Because the Word of God tells us, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. How sad it is when men put off getting saved until another time. My friend, you've been putting off the day of your salvation now for many years. And you've sat under the sound of the gospel now all your life. And maybe some of you are in the winter of life tonight. And for all you know, you haven't longed to live upon this scene of time. That's why you need to strive in at the straight gate. That's why you need to come to Christ now and put your faith and trust in Him. And turn away from your sin and seek the Lord and cry unto Him for mercy and cast yourself upon Him. And thank God if you do, there's salvation and there's redemption and there's forgiveness and there's cleansing through the blood of the Lamb, the King of Nineveh, and God's mercy towards him. Let us all pray.